Hello everyone. Welcome to Gospel in the Air, a 30-minute devotional program that will inspire and encourage your daily walk with Jesus. May I invite you to join me in this short devotional meditation. May you be enlightened with spiritual insights as the Holy Spirit reveals His passion for humankind to be saved. That is, that no one should perish, but all will come to repentance. But before we begin our devotion, let's have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy name. You alone is worthy of our praise. Thank you for your daily provisions, not only with the bread we eat, but most especially by your living word that nourishes our spiritual hunger and quench our spiritual thirst. Today I come and humbly ask of your anointing for the airing of this program, Gospel in the Air, as your instrument to reach out people's faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. May your Holy Spirit empower your servant to speak well of your grace and mercy so that they will be convicted and commit their lives to Him. In His name I pray. Amen. Our devotional lesson is taken from the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And I read the following verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Our devotional meditation is entitled, Run the Race of Faith with Perseverance. The one thing that is required of us, like those of the early Christians, is no other than our untarnished faithfulness to the Lord. The issue here is our faithfulness to Him, not how successful we are. And this is also true in many of the churches today, who erroneously emphasize too much on success-oriented mentality. We do not mean to disregard success. In fact, we implore its significance. However, faithfulness should be the foremost concern of any Christian, man or woman, or any congregation for that matter. This is so because what the Lord wants of His worshipers is to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants Him to be worshipped not from the lips, but from the heart. He wants holy hands lifted up before His throne of grace. He wants an undivided loyalty to His Lordship. He wants our faithfulness untarnished. Our faithfulness to Him is summed up in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, which says, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Take note of the subject being mentioned in this text. They are very successful Christians. They are indeed successful Christians in the eyes of other people. because they are in fact being admired and recognized for their good performance. They prophesy in the name of the Lord. In other words, they regularly go to church and never miss out any Sunday for that matter. They sing, they praise, and they worship with the community of faith. Others are gifted too for driving out demons, and they perform miracles. In other words, these are Christians we usually look up to because of their successful ministry. And as a result, many have come to faith in the Lord. How great to see and hear such wonderful testimonies. And we praise the Lord for that. But is this only what the Lord wants? Only a successful ministry? A successful Christian or successful Christian businessman? A successful church for its beautiful building and great amenities? A successful choir for having men and women who sing beautifully? A successful cell groups for catering the needs of their members? A successful church leaders who think big like CEOs? The list goes on as far as success-oriented mentality is concerned. And we do appreciate them and admire them for that. And how we wish that every Christian, every church for that matter, have that same concern to be successful. However, one should be very cautious lest the temptation is so great because, as we have witnessed and heard, many, including successful Christians and known televangelists and preachers, that have fallen from grace. One should never equate success with faithfulness. They are two different words having two different meanings. And this is the context of the scripture we just read a while. Jesus' response was very chilling and fearsome and should serve as a warning to every professing Christian not to take his words for granted when he said, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And what then is the will of our Heavenly Father? John chapter 6 verse 40 says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son," meaning to Jesus Christ, "and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now these same people who claim to be Christians will argue with him by saying, "Indeed, Lord, we believe in you and have in fact never missed out going to church every Sunday. We shared in the communion and the breaking of bread. We gave our tithes and offerings regularly. And not only that, we were perfect in our attendance for our weekly Bible study. We also serve as leaders in different committees. We were actively involved in all the planning and in all the activities of the church. We even tried once or twice invited friends to come and join our fellowship. We preached your name, and in your name we did wonderful things. In your name many people have come to faith in you." But the Lord is dismayed and very disappointed with them. And in response, he reminds them of his words to the writing of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6, saying, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to live with his own wife, or learn to acquire a wife in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen, who do not know God, and that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men of such sin." Or in the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, It says, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then the Lord goes further, and he said, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 19 and 20. And he ends it with a positive note, with the writing of the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, saying, the man who does the will of God lives forever. In other words, the writer of the Hebrew Christians calls on the new converts not to be entangled again with the strict adherence of the Old Testament ordinances and regulations of temple worship, ceremonies, and rituals. A life in Christ is not outward performance or simply observing such set of rules during worship or for a certain date. But it entails more than that. It includes and reflects every aspect of the Christian way life all throughout 24/7. In other words, even how successful anyone in observing the letter of the law literally, but without a spirit at all, is tantamount to nothing. Accordingly, it is the heart that matters. It is faithfulness, the real and genuine relationship with the Lord, that matters. The Apostle Mark in chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, quoting what the prophet Isaiah has said. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. The same holds true even to those who have been baptized or immersed in water for the remission of their sins. It is not a guarantee that once saved, always saved, if they will not continue to hold on to their faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible is very explicit in its warning in singling out every one of us who profess to be Christian without exception when it said in 2 Peter 3, verse 17, be on guard so that you may not be carried away by error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. In other words, there is still a possibility that our names may be blotted out of the book of life. Psalm 69:28. This too is echoed by Matthew in chapter 24, verse 13, by saying, He who stands firm to the end will be saved. Again, this is the motivation of the writer of the early Hebrew Christians, that their present suffering and persecution should not be a reason for them to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ and to return to the old legalistic way of Judaism, which cannot offer any salvation at all. The writer made it clear to them that because of Jesus Christ, the old covenant has been repealed and was replaced by the new eternal covenant, which he sealed it by his own blood. He encourages them to be steadfast in their faith in the midst of hardship and persecution because of the eternal reward that awaits them. Therefore, as professing Christians, we are encouraged to join in the race of faith. The word race in this context is taken from its Greek word agon, where we derive the English word for agony, which simply means suffering, pain, or distress. The writer of the Hebrews uses such an analogy to illustrate a point regarding our understanding of what real faith in Jesus Christ is all about. It is not that easy and simple as some people thought it to be, like joining any other club or because of a bandwagon. This is a race, not simply a sprint or jogging or breeze walking, but a long distance competition. This is a marathon, where it requires a spirit of determination because of the long and agonizing distance one must endure and suffer. In fact, one cannot just join such a competition without proper training and rigorous preparation. It requires maturity, self-discipline, and determination. Indeed, this is something that the Lord expects, especially among Christian leaders, who should not be easily discouraged and disappointed, but should be the one to lead the way for others to follow. They should reach out to others and extend a helping hand, especially to those who are spiritually weak. Probably, you have been too long a Christian, but you have not yet started running the race of faith. It is high time for you to start it today and make a difference in life. Only God knows and understands it well some of the issues of life that you have been through and struggling until now. And this is what running the race of faith is all about. You need to fix your life now, although it might cost you so much pain and suffering. The bottom line here is faithfulness. Today is Sunday, and probably you are now preparing or you are now on your way to the church, but you feel very empty because you are just doing the same ritual, ceremony, and blindly following certain rules and conduct in your service. And after that, you thought your Christian duty is done. You go home unchallenged and unchanged. You go back to your old habit until next Sunday comes. My friend, you need to unload many unnecessary burdens you are carrying right now. This is the reason why you cannot run the race. You are too heavy. You need to trim down a little bit, and the only way to do that is self-discipline and determination. Once you unload them, it would be easier for you to join in running the race of faith. There might be some issues of your life that you need to fix, and they come in many different forms. There is a need for you to dissect your life spiritually, and only you who knows what is best for you. Remember, Satan fell from his original position before God because of selfish ambition and pride. And this is what he's known for, a master deceiver and the father of all lies, wherein, before you knew it, you have been trapped by his bait. Therefore, always be on the alert, and do not allow even a slight hint of discouragement or disappointment to take advantage of you. You need to participate in the race. Do not be lazy or complacent. Roll your sleeves and join in the ranks of faithful Christians who are willing to pay the costly price of suffering with Jesus Christ our Lord. The prophet Amos in chapter 6, verse 1, gave Israel a stern warning against their complacency. And this is what he said, "Woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure on Mount Samaria." In other words, in running the race of faith, we need to join hands together as one community of faith. We help others stand to their feet once they stumble along the track. We pull them up and bear each other's burden. The race of faith we are running is not an individual race, but a group marathon. Each one of us is a part of it. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27, and even to the following verses. This is the kind of life we have in common in the body of our Lord. No one should think highly of himself or herself, but rather serve one another in love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. We can take Moses as our example here. He is a model of great faith and humility, and he was called as the meekest man on earth. Against all odds, He stood his ground, well-founded and well-settled, and was not afraid or be threatened by the grumbling crowds because he understood well his calling from God. He did not allow himself to be overcome by pride and reacted against all his detractors, but instead committed his faith unto God. By faith, he waited upon the Lord and committed everything under his care, because he knew too well that with God he can overcome all his adversaries. The same God who spoke to him at the burning bush was the same God who showed to him miracles upon miracles. That was enough for him to trust in God whom he believed. The same is true to all who were called by our Lord to serve him, especially among those whom he called to be shepherd of his flock. They should serve him with all humility and dignity, and should be the one to find ways of reaching out others who are also running in the same track with them. Sometimes it is unfortunate that they are the ones being served and encouraged because of the heavy loads they would not like to throw away. And most often than not, it is the sin of pride that they cannot do away with. Hence, the race is too heavy and burdensome for everybody to carry on due to some unresolved issues, especially among leaders of the church. If this is the way the church runs, then we do not expect growth and development, but to care for the sickly and unhealthy members in the body. It will be hard to move on because the burden is too heavy to carry. I have some question to ask from you. Do you have an old bad habit that you do not want to get rid of it? Is your life about to cave in and about to ruin your family life because of a secret affair with the opposite sex? Do you harbor jealousy in your heart because you thought you are better off than the other fellow? Are you not contented with what you have and you do complain a lot? Do you have an uncontrollable tongue that you keep on spewing fire from your mouth incessantly, spreading the gangrene of gossip against another? And the list of questions goes on. And the bottom line here is that unless we get rid of our old selves, then I am afraid we cannot finish the race. Probably, we might be thought as a success in the eyes of other people, but in reality, we are a total failure in the sight of God, because what God is looking for are Christians who are faithful to their calling and are willing to pay the price of finishing the race at all costs. But I have good news for you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, "But my righteous one will live by faith. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Yes, this is the assurance to those who will continue to run the race of faith. They can make it and finish it victoriously, because they have the Lord with them, who will continuously watch and help them along the narrow path of salvation." My friend, trust God and commit your ways to Him, and do not be discouraged, but keep running the race of faith, not aimlessly, but keep punching the good fight of faith. And before I finish, there is one more thing that the author of Hebrews underscored, and that is, one needs to run with perseverance. The Bible says that there are those who are first but will turn out to be last, and the last becoming the first. Indeed, there are those who start very fast at the starting line, as we watch in many racing competitions, especially in the Olympics, and we thought they would make it first. But unluckily, they finish behind. Some never finish at all. The same is true when I go jogging in the early morning. I do not run fast but keep maintaining my pace to a certain degree, because I'm reserving my strength, because the distance I'm running is quite long. It takes me an hour to finish it. And yes, as I said earlier, our race is a marathon. Thus, we expect exhaustion and weariness along the way, and in fact, we even expect obstacles. But through it all, it is our aim to finish it. Not to give up, but to win it. With this in mind, we need to be steadfast. We need an unwavering and firm commitment. We are encouraged to run with perseverance and not to give up because of the promise of a reward. And how can we win the race if we don't join in the race? The early Christians were thrilled at the start of their faith because of the signs and wonders they saw and experienced. Hebrews 2:4. But due to heavy persecutions and their incessant sufferings, they became discouraged and wore down. They wanted to give up and go back to their old ways, the way of Judaism. In other words, they lose their enthusiasm and were contented with their status quo of not doing anything but to wait for their salvation. This is not acceptable to the Lord. Our motivation is seeking the will and purpose of God in our lives. Our strength is in the Holy Spirit, and surely we can make it unto the end. Our race of faith is against Satan, against the flesh. And surely, if we commit upon the Lord, our Lord of cares, then we can finish the race victoriously. Jesus Christ is the author of our faith. In other words, He is the pioneer and originator of our faith, the chief leader and example of our faith. He is not only the author, but also the perfecter. He accomplished it, and nothing is left to be done. Thus, the Apostle Paul can rightly say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want to introduce to you Jesus Christ, God's Son. He is the only hope you have right now to overcome the world. Would you be willing to accept His offer of grace? If you do right now, then salvation is yours. Let us pray. Thank you, dear God, for your abundant words of life. What a joy in heaven among your angels who stand before your throne of grace because of one soul who repents. Yes, Lord, just one soul who repents. May your name be magnified today. In Jesus Christ, amen. It is my prayer that you've been blessed today. Tune into this program, Gospel in the Air, every Sunday from 7:30 to 8 o'clock in the morning. Gospel in the Air is a radio devotional ministry of Cornerstone Christian Church. You can visit also our website at www.cornerstonemaui.org, or you can call or send your text message to this number, 808-463-8859. Again, this is your host, Brother Danny Marantanbangco, saying, keep punching the good fight of faith. Mahalo.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, I will rise on you.